We're up to Siman Tov Reish Hei, and we'll be learning Mitzvah Mina Kaporis Be'erev Yom HaKippurim. This is a Siman which will discuss the halachas of Kaporis, which is really interesting because there's various levels of Minhogim. There's Minhogim, which is what people are accustomed to do, and then there is a higher level, and this is really a minhag which is it's appropriate for the Shulchan Aruch to discuss the whole Siman. To discuss, I mean, it's only one sif, but still, Shulchan Aruch discusses the hilchas, well, the laws regarding the custom of kaporis, which of course means that it's a very important minig. It's maybe on the same level of a minig of, we found also in the Shavuos, we found the minig of having milchiks on Shavuos. It's quite a high level, it's somewhere between, it's a borderline between a minig and a halacha. It's really in between, but it's called a minig. So let's see what the minhag of kaporis is exactly. And we'll be discussing with Shem amongst other shailas as well. What about if somebody is pregnant? What's the minhag of kaporis when somebody's pregnant? What if she knows through means of ultrasound what she's expecting? What's the halacha then? I'll be discussing as well if you can do kaporis with other means besides chickens as well. What can be used as well. Okay, Ma'ashen Ergim Nas is Kaporah Be'ev Yom Kippur. What the minhag is of people to do Kaporahs on Erev Yom Kippur, Lishchoy to Shech Tanagoy the chicken, I'll call Ben Zocho on every male, Veloy Maral of Psukim, and to say certain various Psukim when you're doing this Kaporahs, says the Shulchan Aruch, Yeish Limnoya HaMinhag. One has to stop that minhag, says Shulchan Aruch. It's no good. It's no good minhag, says Shulchan Aruch. Why? Says the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Aleph, Yesh Limnoya HaMinhag, Mishum Chashash, Da'kei Emuri. Because this is something which is Chukas HaGoy. Da'kei Emuri is another, it's Chukas HaGoy, it's a Goyish thing to do. We don't take a chicken and it's Da'kei Emuri, it's Chukas HaGoy, says the Shulchan Aruch. It's inappropriate. What kind of thing is this? It comes from questionable sources. That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. And it's the minhag, it's the custom of Emorim of Goyim. And therefore, says Shulchan Aruch, this is the wrong thing to do. Yesh Limnoya HaMinhag, one has to stop that minhag. Darkei Emori is not necessarily the word. Darkei Emori means something which has. What's the question again? Which.
Which Goyim did this act?
Right. No, it does not identify. But the truth is, in order to be over on the Israel of Chukas HaGoy, it doesn't have to be identified. Anything which is done, which looks like it's a Goyish type of action, even if
no Goyim actually.
Yes, it could very well be. That's a discussion Chukas HaGoy. Very interesting question. Yeah, this over here appears to be a Chukas HaGoy, and therefore it happens to be that it's very likely that this is the kind of thing that may have been similar types of thing may have done by some Goyim, maybe similar. Now I wonder, does Sfardim generally they do it or not? They are doing it. The question is why do many Sfardim do it? Many Sfardim, because the opinion of Shulchan, we're going to see some. The Ramah is going to argue on that. The Ramah is going to say that the minhag is okay, and we're going to explain that shortly, Mitzvah Hashem. But the question is, what about Sfardim? Why do Sfardim tend to do it? Oh, very, very, yeah. So the answer is that the reason why many Sfardim do it, although generally the Sfardim, the rule is generally the Sfardim always follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. That's generally the rule. We as Ashkenazim, we always follow the psak of the Ramah. Sfardim generally go with the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. However, if there is if the Ari Hakodosh, so says the Sfardim Shapoiskim, when the Ari Zal Hakodosh, when the Ari mentions a minhag and he justifies it and he supports the minhag, then even the Sfardim will go often according to the Ari. Because Ari his ruling overrides the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And this is exactly what's happening over here. The Ari supports and encourages the minhag of Kaporis. And therefore many Sfardim will go according to the Psak of the Ari, which is against the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. But I understand if some Sfardim don't feel comfortable with that, because that's really what the Shulchan Aruch says, that the minhag of the Sfardim, Shulchan Aruch doesn't like it. Right. That's the, with regards to the Sfadim. What about Ashkenazim? We do it or not? And that's what the Ramos says over here. The Ramos straight away supports the Minhag. And he says that some early sources, the Gaonim, they do write this custom. Very early Achoinim, they also write this down. And they justified v'chein noyagin b'chol medinois elu, and this is the custom in all the countries. Not only just the custom, the fact that it's the custom that may not be good enough, but he says v'ein leshanois, do not change. This is the minhag, and it's fine to do so. Ein leshanois, don't change it. It's fine. It's right. The Ramah clearly supports the minhag of kapos and is not concerned of the potential problem of chukas hagoy. Ki minhag vasikin is an ancient minhag. It's an ancient minhag. So let's see what the source of this minhag is. What is the reason for that minhag? That all is explained in Mishnah Berurah Cotton Base. And he says the following. Does anybody know why do we do kaparos? What is it? What is it? What's the reason behind that? Very well, similar. Similar. Yeah, similar, yeah. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. If cotton base says the Mishnah Berurah, minhag vasikin v'yachshov, and he should think shekol ma she'oisin la'oif hazeh. He should think whatever one does to that particular chicken, hakol, everything hayuroy, would have been appropriate love or love, should have come really on him. Now, really, this chicken is shechted. Really, I deserve to be punished. Ve'ali dei tshuvoso, in through the tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, mesalek agzera, removes the decree me'olav on him, ve'niskaim dukmosoi, po'if hazeh. And whatever should have happened on him, really, is, as you're saying, the word transferred, is moved to that bird, to that chicken. So, he says that, really, it's a symbol that really whatever happens to me, should have happened to me, is going to happen to that chicken. And the key word over here is, the key word over here is certainly what the Mishnah Berurah says, there's definitely a crucial part, the essential part of a kapara is, according to Mishnah Berurah, the tshuva, that is part of it. Yeah, you see that? Through me doing tshuva, this is removed and is transferred onto the chicken. When it's came to Moshe by Fazen, it's being transferred to the chicken. V'chein kosva rishonim, and rishonim write tam ha-korban ha-bo'al al-yashoik. This is a very important line in Mishnah Berurah. He says this is really identical to the concept of korban. If you ever want to know what the concept of korban is, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you have to see in this Mishnah Berurah over here. Mishnah Berurah explains the concept of korban is really that, what's korban all about? What is a korban? We've got a whole sefer in Chumash, korban. Many Rishonim are busy trying to explain how does a korban work, to sacrifice a korban? How does that work? The answer is explained in this Mishnah Berurah over here, in the middle of Hilchos Yom Kippur. Mishnah Berurah explains that how does a korban work? A korban works because when I bring a sacrifice of a korban, I should really think that really I should be brought over there and being shech. That's really, I should be punished like that. But because me doing tshuva, me doing tshuva, and it's being transferred on the animal on my behalf, he's representing me. And that's how korban works. And that's the same way that kapor works the same way. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. Okay, continues the Mishnah Berurah. V'toiv l'shochtoiv ha'shmoreis, ach ha'slichas, the right time to do it is in the morning after slichas, ki oz rachim goivrim, because that's the time that there's a lot of mercy. V'lochen yesh balabais l'hazmin avuka, a person has to bring a strong torch as well. L'fi she'en shoichtim balalik, you're not allowed to shecht by night, kim la'oir avuka, only if there is strong light. There's an issa of shechting when it's dark. Ve'shechtim oison achat for the shachis, and some shecht a little bit later after shachis. It's like a true, the shechita has nowadays as well. They start very early in the morning. They start early when it starts getting light, and they finish early in the afternoon. They want to have that. There must be strong light. They don't rely on any. Generally, they try to do it during day hours, and they. Correct. Correct. Just for making sure that everything goes fine, the light should be strong light. Right. He does continue. He says the following: and in a place that there's many, many people gathering together, they pushed one another. And the are awake the whole night. Before them, they're already quiet in a bad mood and they're finished, they're exhausted. They don't check the knives properly. And they could end up doing an Issa Nevela, not shechting appropriately. It's better in such a case that you're not sure how the shechtim are doing their job. It's better to do it a day or two before Yom Kippur. So don't do it mamash on Erev Yom Kippur. Do it a day or two early. If you're not sure the shechtim are going to do a good job on Erev Yom Kippur, you might as well do it one or two days earlier. Kikola says in Mitzvus Man Kapos. That's an important line over here. The entire Aseres Yimetshuva is time for Kaporos. It doesn't have to be an Erev Yom Kippur. It's the best time, the ideal time. If you can't do it Kaporos on Erev Yom Kippur, you can do it throughout the entire Aseres Yimetshuva. Alternatively, if you feel that an Erev Yom Kippur it's not going to be done properly, you can either do it a bit earlier throughout Aseres Yimetshuva. Alternatively, you can use money. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. You can use money. Or yisabavu al roshem b'moyz. You can do with money, with coins. Vatechoshev lehem letztoka. And that should be considered tztokish. Lo yinichsholim be'issa nevela. And it's going to be considered a tztoka, a merit that they're not over on issa nevela chas v'sholem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. Right. Okay. Correct. That's why it's second best. Good point. That's a good point. So that's probably why the Mishnah Berurah points out that over here you've got the chus of tzedakah, which is that you have, at the very least, the chus of tzedakah. You're quite right that the idea of bringing a carbon is not existing over here, but at least you're doing tzedakah. Definitely, Ramon says that in a minute. Definitely, Ramon will say that in a minute. It's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't explain why there is no Dakeh Moiri according to the Ramah. Notice that? He's not worried about that. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says there's Chukas HaGoyitz, Dakeh Moiri. It's a Goyish ritual. It appears to be a Goyish ritual. That's why we don't do Kaporos according to Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah is not bothered about that. And Mishnah Berurah doesn't really explain why. Very interesting. That's a very, very valid explanation. That could very well be. That Chukas HaGoy does change according to societies, and therefore it's something is really not common anymore in that particular place. Chukas HaGoy may not apply. That could very well be. Okay. Now, what is exactly the minhag? What animals do you take? The custom says the Ramah, I mean the third line. V'noyagim likach tanigol zocho lezocho. You take a chicken for a man, but in the cave of Lochin Tanagol, it's for a woman, you take a hen. So you're going to take a chicken and a hen according to, you know, for a man or for a lady. And for a pregnant lady, you take Shnei Tanagolim. You take two chickens for a pregnant lady, Ulai Teilet Zacha, because maybe she's going to give birth to a baby boy. So you need to take two. Uvoicharin says the Mishnah Berurah Sef Kotten Gimel, exactly your point. Shnei Tarnegolim, Dehainu Tarnegol veTarnegoles. You take a chicken and a hen, according to Mishnah Berurah Sef Kotten Gimel. Tarnegol, you take a chicken, Shema Avlat Zocha, maybe the baby is a boy. VeTarnegoles, a hen, Shafilim Avlat Nekeva, even if it is, if the baby turns out to be a girl, and the lady herself is, of course, a woman. Yis kapushneim. This hen works for both. He's working on two fronts. He's working for the mother and for the baby. For herself and for the baby. And then he says, afilu shnei bnei odim yichom likach kapora achas imen yotam asagis. You can use a chicken twice. You can recycle a chicken. It's fine. You can recycle a chicken. You can use it twice, says the Mishnah Berurah. Pardon? Can you recycle money? You can use it. I assume that the answer. He doesn't actually say it, but I assume the answer is. I assume the answer is yes. Very good, we're going to get to that. ויש שלא יקחים לברר שני תנגולים שני תנגולים ותנגול אחד. The Mishnah Berurah says some are makpin, they take two chickens and two tanegoilois, two hens, and tanegol echad and one chicken. Okay. Very good. Why does an unborn child need a kapara in the first place? Can you answer your question? What do you mean to ask? Very good. Surely a baby hasn't done any averus. Very good. Very good. Good question. Very good question. Very good. Why do we find a concept of a kapara for a unborn baby? Surely the unborn baby has none of this. This question is being asked by the poskim, and they answer the following. They say, or any suggestions?
Parents of
Eris. Parents of
Eris. They should be covered on her one.
Then what, then? Because then, right, very good. So I'll tell you the nusach, it's a very good answer, and your question is a good answer. I'll tell you the way the poskim say it, and I wonder if that helps your question. They say that maybe, for one reason or another, the baby deserves to be punished. Not for its own averus. But sometimes you find that, Rahman al-Itslan, babies who don't make it, or babies who are stillbirth, Rahman al-Itslan, all those concepts. And of course, it's not for their own averus. Of course, this is because of either their parents or averus of a klal, averus of ancestors, something on those lines, not their own averus, but averus which did happen, but not their own averus, and that's why they deserve to, that's why we do a minhag of kaporas on unborn babies. So that probably does answer your question, because it doesn't just go on, it doesn't go just on parents, but it goes beyond that. It goes on, could be on a community, could be on ancestors, on grandparents, etc. And therefore you can't rely on that, you can't rely on kaporas, and therefore the minhag here has been always to make kapora for an unborn baby as well. Yeah, but the question that's a very interesting point. Uvish, does that answer the question? It's definitely an interesting concept, but generally don't find that. Uvish Shoshim is Samuel al Roshoy, and when we turn around the head, Yoima, he says, Zeh Khalifasi, Tmurosi, Bekaporosi. So yeah, three times. Roshay Tevos, that's interesting as well. The Roshay Tevos is for the words Khalifasi, Tmurosi, Kaporosi, the Chof, the Tof. And the Chof is Roshay Tevos, Chatach. Shei Malach HaMemune Al HaChaim. There's the Malach, don't ask me, I don't know anything about this, but apparently the Malach, the angel, which is appointed and designated for life, he's called Chatach. I don't know if anybody knows anything, any information about that. I know nothing about it. Chatach is apparently the Malach, which is assigned for life. And that's why we say Chalifosi, Tmurosi, Kaporosi. That's what Mishnah Berurah teaches us here. Now, just going back to the question that was asked, what about ultrasounds? Say they had a checkup and there's an ultrasound that tells you already what it is. You know that it's a baby boy or a baby girl. What happens then? Rather, one shouldn't really ask, but sometimes one shouldn't really ask. It's the post can say one shouldn't ask, but say they sometimes. Yeah, you can tell them before. You can tell them before. I don't want to know, and they respect that. They respect that. Yeah.
The answer to the question you're asking, sometimes they get it wrong.
They do get it wrong, right? That's very interesting because very good. Okay, what do you think about that, Rabbi Isai? If you happen to know, actually, I remember hearing an interesting din Torah that happened that a couple waiting for a number of years for a baby, and they asked the doctor for what it is, a boy. Eventually, they were expecting, and she was pregnant. And they asked then the doctor, what is it, a boy or a girl? And they waited a number of years, and the doctor said it's a girl. The doctor said it's a girl. He looked in the ultrasound and he said it's a girl, and they were very excited and they couldn't hold themselves back. They were quite a wealthy couple, and they prepared the room in pink. But they spent a fortune on it. The whole room was pink and everything, and they made the curtains and everything was made into beautiful pink. They bought a pink cot and a pink everything in pink. Well, you can end off the story yourself. Of course, it turned out to be a baby boy. And the question then was, because the doctor happens to be a Yid, they want to know if they can bring him into a Din Torah. It was an interesting shayla. That was the shayla. Can you bring him to a Din Torah? Because they made it was a very substantial financial loss. That was the question. That was a Din Torah shayla, Chashim Mishpat shayla. Yeah. What do you think, Abu Isai? No, you couldn't?
No.
No, you couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't. But also, they keep. That's right. They keep, it depends a little bit on the medical on the medical. Not so much on the terms that he used, and it happens to be that he didn't say for sure. He said that it looked like it wasn't like convinced. If it would have been more convinced, the shadow would have been a bit more. But he wasn't such a convinced nusach. He said it looks like or something like that, which anyway covered him totally. But yeah. But certainly one can tell them what doesn't want to know. Yeah, even when we were expecting the twins, also they respect that they don't want to know. So right. What's the halacha then? If you do know, can you rely on that or not? With regards to gmina kaporos. Yeah, but if you do know, if they gave it away, they gave it by mistake or they asked, whatever happens. So the post can generally say that if you can't fully rely on it, but with regards to gmina kaporos, you could. As far as the Minhag Kapparos is concerned, the Poskim generally say that it's okay. So you could just, you could rely on that. Okay, continues the Ramah. Uvoichen betanegoyim levonim. You're meant to choose white chickens. Aldech shalema, as the Pasuk says, im yuchato eichem kashonim kashelek albinu. That the chatoim should be turning totally white like snow. And therefore you should try to aim to get white. White chickens, if possible at all. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is not so happy about it. He says that don't try to seek a dafka white, because that certainly goes into dark hemorrh. If you dafka trying to get, it sounds like in some places, people were particularly makbid to get white chickens. They were very, very makbid about it. He said, if you mamash go to town about getting white chickens, that's already dark hemorrh. It doesn't really make a difference so much. If you're just getting hold of a white one, that's fine. But don't get too busy with it. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. Okay, continues the Ramah. For now, go to the kaporis la'aniyim. The meaning is afterwards to give the kaporis to poor people or liftos in the moment, or to sell it, to redeem it with money. Shenois la'aniyim, the money that you're making from selling those chickens, that you give to anim, to poor people. Right, the meaning nowadays is, as we mentioned, that we do use money instead. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Cotton, Mishnah Berurah have gotten Vav. Mishnah Berurah says, that you can also use. Where was that? Sorry, it's safe cotton zan. It's in a minute. Sorry, let's just carry on the Ramah. V'yesh lahas mechshchit es hakaporoi. Excuse me, before. V'yesh mekoyme some places shenoyagim leilech al hakvorois. Some places, some people have the minik to go to kvorim, to a base oilim, to cemetery on Erev Yom Kippur, v'lehar base bitztoke, and to give it off. Tztoke v'hakoil minik yofe. This is all a very worthy minik to go to base oilim on Erev Yom Kippur. V'yesh lahas mechshchit es hakaporoi miyad, lachshir zir olof. And the minhag is to immediately shecht the chicken immediately after you did kaporos. V'somach yodav olof, shechzir olof, v'somach yodav olof. After you're doing smicha, with your hands on the chicken. After that, we shecht immediately. Tumus hakorban, like you normally do smicha, right? You lean on a korban, tumus korban, like on a korban you do smicha. So similarly, also on the chicken, says the Ramah. But the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't do. Sifkot nuches. Some achlod of love. Yes, because Yeshlim none of us say. So the Mishnah Berurah said no. It should. Ramah says you should lean on a chicken for kaporos, like on a carbon. Well, we certainly don't do that. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Should refrain from doing that. The nirek emakdish kotchim v'shechtim bechutz, because that looks like you're making a proper carbon, and that you mustn't. It mustn't mamash appear like a carbon, and therefore you don't do smicha. You don't lean on a chicken. V'achem kosu shein lochus. That there's someone not particularly bothered about it. Kivin shetanik on enu roilim isbech, because a chicken anyway you can't bring to a carbon. So that chashash doesn't really exist, and therefore Mishnah Berurah actually does justify the minik. But I believe that the minik is certainly not to lean on a chicken. Anybody leans on a chicken? Yes. Anybody leans on a chicken, or you do like Mishnah Berurah says that you don't? Anybody leans on a chicken? Pardon? We don't lean, right. Yeah, by the way, nowadays it's not so common, but I must say that does anybody use actually chickens? Anybody use chickens? You can go to the screen, people still can, right? It's that bit, yeah. I must say that it's interesting that old Yidden was sometimes mamash moise nefesh. My grandfather was mamash moise nefesh. Old elder, some people from previous generations were mamash moise nefesh not to use money. Interesting. They were very makpi to dafka use chickens. I don't know, but that's but certainly money works as well. Mishneh Berurah actually mentions as well that you can use fish as well. You can use fish as well, as long as it's an animal that you can't bring as a korban. Mishneh Berurah says earlier. Okay, and then finally, just finish off. The intestines you throw when after shechting, you chuck it. You chuck the intestines on the roof, so bechotza on the courtyard. Place where chickens could eat from. So in other words, just the leftovers don't sell it. Don't have any profit from it. Just put it on the. Just throw it away. The Mishnah explains the reason for that in Sifkot and Tess, and he says v'zorikin shederchat hanigolim lozim min hagazel. The stomachs of the chickens, they're fed from stolen chickens. They steal. What do they eat? They eat from anybody's. They eat everybody's. So a lot of it is stolen property. And therefore, don't have any benefit from that. Just put it away. So don't chuck it away because they had benefit from stolen. We don't eat it. Because we also don't want to steal anything. We want to distance ourselves from anything which is stolen. Okay. Yeah, and we'll stop here and we'll start Simon Tov Reshvov tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.